Democracy Now.
After 7 months, that's it. We are all waiting for death, one by one. We don't know when and how. Children like these, the majority of them are children. We pull them out and we can't tell them apart. We don't know who is left under the rubble.
As warplanes continue to bomb Gaza and the death toll nears 34,000, we go to Cairo, Egypt, to speak with a Palestinian photographer who left Gaza 10 days ago with his family. Then a picture by a Palestinian photojournalist in Gaza wins the 2024 World Press Photo of the Year. We look at the Gaza Collective Photo Essay Project.
Palestinian photojournalists are the only ones, are the only window into the suffering of people in Gaza. And so it was really important for us to go to them and to try to share and elevate again the incredible, tragic testimonies that they are reporting and covering day in, day out for the last 6 months.
And the internationally renowned feminist Palestinian professor, Nadra Shalhoub Kevorkian, reinstated by Hebrew University, by Israeli police in her Jerusalem home. We'll get the latest. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israel launched a drone attack on Iran, according to Israeli and Iranian sources. Tehran said the strike hit a military air base near the city of Isfahan, where explosions could be heard. The damage was reportedly minimal, and Iranian forces later downed 3 Israeli drones. The attack early this morning came in response to Iran's recent drone and missile attack on Israel. It comes less than 3 weeks after Israel attacked an Iranian consulate in Damascus, Syria, killing many people, including senior military officials. About a dozen people were killed. There were early reports of possible strikes inside Syria and Iraq as well, but those have not been confirmed. Earlier Thursday, the U.S. announced new sanctions on Iran targeting its missile and drone programs in various military entities and individuals. The EU and UK are also imposing new sanctions against Iran. Meanwhile, Secretary of State Antony Blinken said at a G7 meeting in Italy earlier today, the U.S. was not involved in any offensive operation by Israel, though it's reported the U.S. received advance notice of the Israeli attack on Iran. Here in New York, riot police moved in on a peaceful student protest encampment, arresting at least 108 people at Columbia. Columbia University President Manu Shafiq called the NYPD to clear the Gaza Solidarity encampment on the campus of lawn, where students had set up one day earlier to demand university leadership divest from Israel. New York Police Chief John Schell said Shafiq identified the demonstration as a clear and present danger, but that officers found the students to be peaceful and cooperative. Shafiq warned all students participating in the encampment would be suspended if arrested. At least 3 suspensions of Barnard students were confirmed Thursday, including Isra Hirsi, daughter of Congressmember Ilhan Omar. Columbia students and faculty members held a news conference Thursday evening. This is Palestinian-American graduate student Leila Saliba, who lost 14 family members in Gaza since October 7th.
Today was a dark day for freedom of speech on Columbia's campus, because Columbia is showing that if you do not say, if you say something or do something that the university does not agree with, that they are willing to use violence towards you, and that they are willing to endanger the health and safety and well-being of their students to protect their PR and their image.
That's right.
Right here, we've got some riot cops. Look, right over there, they're treating us like a national security threat simply for holding a press conference.
Leila Saliba was also one of the Columbia students attacked in January's chemical skunk attack during a campus rally. Following yesterday's arrest, students continued to gather on campus, where protests carried on through the night and are ongoing. Thursday's showdown with the NYPD was the largest arrest on the Columbia campus since 1968, when police apprehended over 700 students protesting the school's ties to the Vietnam War and Columbia's plans to expand in Harlem by building a gymnasium in Morningside Park. Meanwhile, on the other side of the country, massive crowds of students at the University of Southern California protested USC's cancellation of valedictorian Asna Tabassum's graduation speech, chanting, "Let her speak." This is student Katya Urban.
It feels really important, especially right now, for the Jewish voice at USC, the anti-Zionist Jewish voice at USC, to be very loud and very present. So we're here just to support Asna and to support free speech and to hold USC accountable.
To see our interview with the USC valedictorian, go to democracynow.org. The United States was alone in vetoing a UN Security Council resolution Thursday recommending Palestine's full membership at the United Nations. The UK and Switzerland abstained. All 12 other nation members voted in favor of Palestinian membership. Palestine is currently a non-member observer. Riyad Mansour, Palestinian ambassador to the UN, said the result will translate to a greater loss of life in Gaza. He spoke after the vote.
Our right to self-determination is subject to barbarization. Our right to self-determination is a natural right, a historic right, a legal right, a right to live in our homeland, Palestine, as an independent state that is free and that is sovereign.
More details have emerged about the death of Hinver Jab, the 6-year-old girl in Gaza City who was killed by Israeli forces in January in a car alongside 5 of her family members. Prior to her death, Hind was on the phone with emergency workers pleading for help. 2 paramedics from the Palestinian Red Crescent who responded to her call were also killed in their ambulance. Israel denied responsibility for the killings by claiming its forces were not present. But a new Washington Post investigation finds Israeli armored vehicles were in the vicinity of the attack on Hinver Jab. The Post also reveals the destroyed ambulance was discovered along a route provided by Israeli authorities after the Palestine Red Crescent had received approval to respond. The ambulance was bombed about 164 feet from the car and her family. The Post reports the destruction of the ambulance was consistent with the use of a round fired by Israeli tanks and that the gunfire audible on the phone call was consistent with Israeli weapons. A coalition of human rights advocates have arrived in Istanbul, Turkey, as they prepare to set sail to Gaza on a civilian flotilla carrying urgently needed food and medicine. Hundreds humanitarian aid mission. The Freedom Flotilla is expected to set sail later this month. This is Palestinian-American activist Huwaida Araf.
What we have on board is life-saving aid. We are watching in horror as an entire people are being deliberately starved on top of the bombing, the killings and the maiming that we have seen. And we can't stand by because our governments aren't doing anything to stop it. So we are taking to sea to attempt to deliver this aid and to directly challenge the siege in hopes of breaking it.
Huwaida Araf was one of the organizers of the 2010 Gaza Freedom Flotilla, which Israel attacked, killing 10 activists. Lawmakers can soon take a decisive step in forcing TikTok to either be sold from its Chinese owner ByteDance or be banned in the U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson has attached the TikTok divest or ban measure to a series of military funding bills for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, adding up to $95 billion. House lawmakers are expected to vote on all 4 bills by Saturday, which would then be sent to the Senate as a single package. This comes as the Wall Street Journal reports the Biden administration's weighing sending another $1 billion in new weapons to Israel, including tank ammunition, military vehicles, and mortar rounds. The U.S. deported over 70 Haitian asylum seekers Thursday, despite a spiraling security and humanitarian crisis in Haiti. Immigration rights ending the Biden administration halt all deportation flights to Haiti. The Haitian Bridge Alliance said in a statement, quote, deportations to Haiti are intentional violence and blatant anti-black discrimination. The hypocrisy by the Biden-Harris administration must cease, they said. Earlier this week, Haitian officials named the members of a transitional council that will take power after Prime Minister after Ariel Henry steps down. The council, made up of voting members and non-voting observers, will choose a new prime minister and wield certain presidential powers by majority vote. Members of the council include a former employee of the World Bank. Its mandate expires February 2026. The Biden administration's reimposed oil sanctions on Venezuela, saying President Nicolas Maduro has not enforced promised reforms ahead of by elections. Some U.S. sanctions on Venezuela's oil industry were lifted last year under the condition Maduro allowed opposition candidates to participate in the elections, but several have been banned from running. The U.S. Senate advanced the passage of Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or FISA, Thursday, despite objections from civil liberties advocates and some controversial provision been used by federal agencies to conduct warrantless surveillance on U.S. citizens. One of the measure's critics in Congress, Senator Ron Wyden, said, quote, "This issue demands a debate about meaningful reforms, not a rushed vote to rubber stamp more warrantless government surveillance powers," he said. And 12 jurors, 7 men and 5 women, have been selected for Donald Trump's criminal hush money trial. The 6 alternates will likely be chosen by the end of today, with opening arguments starting as early as Monday. Trump's charged with 34 felony counts of falsifying business records to hide $130,000 paid to adult film star Stormy Daniels in 2016. Prosecutors said Thursday Trump has repeatedly violated his gag order and asked Judge Juan Merchan to hold Trump in contempt. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Amidst crackdowns on pro-Palestinian voices on campuses coast to coast in the United States, we begin today's show in Israel, where police arrested the internationally renowned feminist Palestinian professor Nadra Shalhoub Kevorkian at her home in Jerusalem Thursday, on charges of incitement to violence. Professor holds both Israeli and U.S. citizenship. She was suspended by Hebrew University last month after saying in an interview Israel was committing genocide in Gaza. But then the university reinstated her. She spoke on Democracy Now! In March after her suspension.
The question remains whether what is teachable, what should be written, what is publishable, what we can speak as scholars that are studying state criminality as opposing to what is going on, as opposing to what the state is doing is not accepted, so they throw us out of the university. And this is the same policy that the state of Israel is doing outside. So it's silencing, it's preventing people from speaking, it's threatening, it's punishing, and it's also done in a very degraded and indignifying manner, calling my student a day before the end of the first semester and telling me you're suspended is something that is beyond any expectations. But this is and stressing it's a Zionist institution. You can't abide by these rules, you're out. My only concern, Amy, today is the safety of students, the safety of my students, Jewish and Palestinian, that are standing against genocide, standing against the war, refusing to see the continuous and ongoing atrocities. My really concern, silencing of dissent all over the world, because we see it in academic institutions. The question, if we think that academic institutions should work according and by the orders from the state, I don't know why we're having academic institution. Academia and research requires that we're attentive to details, to what goes on, to the life of women, men, children. And I'm really concerned today. And of course, I must clearly state that the behavior of the university is a behavior that is threatening the safety of our students, the safety of colleagues that are speaking against the genocide, and my own personal safety as a person who lives in Jerusalem, the safety of my family.
That was last month. After Professor Shalhoub Kevorkian's arrest on Thursday, over 100 professors around the world released a statement calling for her immediate release, calling her arrest an attack, quote, on all Palestinian scholars, students, and activists who bring to light the violent and genocidal nature, they wrote. Today, Professor Shahoub Kevorkian had a hearing where a judge ordered her release, but she has not been released, as the Israeli government is reportedly appealing. For more, we're joined by Sara Ihmoud, a Chicana Palestinian anthropologist, assistant professor of anthropology and peace and conflict studies at the College of the Holy Cross in Worcester, Massachusetts. She's founder of the Palestinian Feminist Collective. Professor Nadra Shalhoub Kevorkian is her mentor. We welcome you now, Professor. If you can start off by giving us the latest. We spoke to her when she was in London after being suspended by Hebrew University. They then reinstated her. She went home to Israel, and she has now been arrested. What have you heard of this hearing and why she was arrested?
Thanks for having me, Amy, and thank you for bringing light to the case of Professor Shalhoub Kevorkian, who, as you noted, is an internationally renowned feminist scholar and human rights activist who has been working to bring attention to the situation of Palestinian women and children under Israeli military occupation for the past three decades. As far as we understand, Professor Shalhoub Kevorkian was violently arrested from her home in the Armenian quarter of Jerusalem's Old City yesterday around 5 p.m. The police raided her home and confiscated her belongings, including her laptop, some books, from what I understand, as well as a poster of the Palestinian poet Mahmoud Darwish. Professor Shalhoub Kevorkian, as you noted, has been subjected to violent repression and harassment by the Hebrew University for speaking out against the ongoing genocide in Gaza. And she was suspended from her teaching duties in March, though later reinstated once it became clear that there was no basis for the allegations against her. Ultimately, we hold the Hebrew University of Jerusalem responsible for her arrest and detention because of its persistent and public repression of her academic freedom, which led directly to yesterday's arrest. And we see this as yet another example of Israel attacking Palestinians wherever they are, whoever they are. It underscores that no Palestinian is safe under Israel's racist apartheid rule, not even someone like Dr. Shalhoub Kevorkian, who is both an Israeli and American citizen, and a world-renowned and respected feminist scholar. And it's important to note as well that Israel routinely holds Palestinians captive and imprisons them without trial, without due process, and under inhumane conditions, including children, and that this is just both unjust and illegal. And this is an attack on her as both a Palestinian and a scholar who is rightfully speaking out against Israel's well-documented human rights abuses and ongoing genocide. So as far as we understand, the Jerusalem court magistrate had ordered her release under the condition of a 20,000 shekel bail. However, the court, the state, and the police are appealing, and they have taken her to the central court where they're still holding her. So we are still awaiting further details about whether she will be released or whether the state will continue holding her.
Can you talk? You know her, Professor Sara Ihmoud.
Of course. Thank you, Amy. I have known Professor Shalhoub Kevorkian for over a decade. I first met her in Occupied East Jerusalem when I was a graduate student just beginning to pursue my PhD dissertation research. And she has become one of my dearest friends and mentors over the past decade. She's someone that has really opened my eyes and many across the world to the intimacies of Israeli settler colonial violence and repression in Occupied East Jerusalem and across the Palestinian territory. Her work has focused on specifically the conditions of women, how patriarchy and colonialism intersect to shape the lives of women, and what justice looks like for Palestinian women. And her work has also really taken a central imperative to understanding the conditions of Palestinian children and speaking out against the persistent human rights abuses of Palestinian children in occupied territory. She is the scholar who founded the concept of unchilding to help us further understand, as scholars across the world interested in children's rights, states typically shape the lives and limit the futures of children, indigenous children and racialized children across the globe. So her work has been absolutely pathbreaking and important, not only in the Palestinian context, but in global contexts where populations are facing racialized and gendered repression and violence. And she has been a beloved mentor to many, including myself. And she has always centered love in the way that she cares for her students, for scholars in her community, and she continues to center that ethics and method of love in the work that she does in the community and with her students across the Hebrew University and beyond.
In addition to being a professor at Hebrew University, she also taught at Queen Mary University in London. We spoke to her in London. Another professor there is Neve Gordon, the Israeli scholar, who we also recently did an interview with. He just tweeted, the judge, Nadra hearing, the judge to police, I can understand that you wanted the arrest to conduct searches, but so far you have not found anything that justifies the arrest, and I have not received any other explanation. The pages you found are an expression of opinion, the judge said. As we wrap up, Professor Ahmoud, the significance of this and why you feel she's being targeted right now.
Absolutely. Thank you. I think, you know, it's important to stress the absurdity of her portrayal by the police as dangerous. And yet this follows a history of Palestinians generally and Palestinian women in particular being portrayed as a dangerous threat to Israeli security. Obviously, we see how the entire population of Gaza has been dehumanized, and that has provided the pretext for Israel's continued genocidal assault on the entire civilian population of the Gaza Strip. And of course, Israel sees Professor Shalhoub Kevorkian as dangerous because her work for the last several decades exposes exactly the opposite, of course. That is the humanity of the Palestinian people in the face of the inhumanity of the Israeli state in its quest to continue to occupy, terrorize, and brutalize the Palestinian people and repress our movement for liberation. So we are calling on international scholars, activists, and people of conscience everywhere to continue maintaining pressure for her immediate release and for all of the charges against her to be dropped. We are outraged by this unlawful action, and we refuse the continuing silence and violence by the Israeli state and its institutions against the Palestinian people and for those who, like Professor Shalhoub Kevorkian, continue being a voice of light and love, standing for justice and liberation. Again, Professor Shalhoub Kevorkian has always centered her love for her people, for her students' safety and security, and it's important that we follow in her footsteps, in the path that she has been taking herself and leading us in embodying hope and the necessity that we continue speaking out against Israel's ongoing genocidal violence.
Sada Ahmoud, we want to thank you for being with us. Chicana, Palestinian anthropologist, assistant professor of anthropology and peace and conflict studies at the College of Holy Cross in Worcester, Massachusetts, where she's speaking to us from. She's a founder of the Palestinian Feminist Collective. Professor Nadra Shalhoub Kevorkian was arrested Thursday in Jerusalem at her home. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. Here in New York, riot police moved in on a peaceful student protesting campus encampment, arresting at least 108 people at Columbia. Columbia University President Manu Shafiq called the NYPD to clear the Gaza Solidarity encampment on the campus's South Lawn, where Columbia and Barnard students had set up one day earlier to demand university leadership divest from Israel. New York Police Chief John Chell said Shafiq identified the demonstration as a clear and present danger, but that officers found the students to be peaceful and cooperative. Shafiq warned all students participating in the encampment would be suspended. At least three suspensions of Barnard students were confirmed Thursday before the arrests, including Isra Hirsi, the daughter of Congressmember Ilhan Omar. Thursday's showdown with the NYPD was the largest arrest on the Columbia campus since 1968, when police arrested over 700 students protesting the school's ties to the Vietnam War and its plans to expand in Harlem by building a gymnasium there. Following the arrests yesterday, students gathered on the campus throughout the night as large protests continued and are ongoing. Students got support from many Columbia faculty online and a visit in person from Union Theological Seminary professor Cornel West, just nearby, who's also a 2024 presidential candidate. Democracy Now! Spoke to Professor West after he climbed a fence to visit with the encamped protesters.
Well, you know, in light of our standing deep solidarity with our precious Palestinian brothers and sisters who are undergoing vicious genocide, wrestling with apartheid conditions for so long, and still being ethnically cleansed, we want the world to know that their suffering does not have the last word. There's resilience and there's a willingness to fight. And Colombia president ought to be shame on herself that she cannot zero in on an actual genocide taking place before our very eyes and be concerned about a potential and possible call for genocide. Nobody here is calling for genocide. Jews, nobody's here calling for annihilation. We're calling for the end of an actual genocide and the end of an actual annihilation. How sad that Columbia University could teach so many courses on the clonical texts of Western civilization and can't listen to Diderot or Karl Marx. They can't listen to a Martin Luther King Jr. They can't listen to a Muriel Rukeyser. Most importantly, they can't listen to the cries of our precious Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank. So I'm in deep solidarity with these students. They represent the best, not just of Columbia, not just of the American, but the fighting in the face of domination and occupation and subjugation and doing it with tremendous determination.
That's presidential candidate and Union Theological Seminary professor Cornel West speaking to Democracy Now! At Columbia University in the midst of the protests. Special thanks to Hannah Elias. President Shafiq called in the New York police a day after she testified in the U.S. Congress. When we come back, we go to Cairo to speak with a Palestinian photographer who just left Gaza with his family. Stay with us. By Daughters of Jerusalem. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israeli warplanes bombed areas in Beit Lahia in the northern Gaza Strip, as well as the Jabalia refugee camp in Gaza City over the last day, killing at least four people. Meanwhile, Al Jazeera reports the Israeli military has deployed more troops in areas adjacent to Rafah, the southernmost city of Gaza, where some 1.3 million Palestinians, more than half of Gaza's population, are seeking shelter. Israeli airstrikes have been pounding agricultural land in eastern parts of Rafah this morning. The official death toll in Gaza is nearly 34,000 Palestinians killed, over 14,000 of them children. Thousands more are missing and presumed dead under the rubble. Nearly 77,000 have been wounded. That's 100,000 Palestinians killed or wounded since October 7th. This comes as a picture by the Gaza-based Reuters photojournalist Mohammed Salem has been chosen as the 2024 World Press Photo of the Year. It shows a Palestinian woman, Inez Abu Mamar, caressing the wrapped body of her dead niece, Sally, in the Nasser Hospital morgue in Khan Yunis in October. Well, today we're joined by a Palestinian photographer who was able to leave Gaza 10 days ago with his family. Ahmed Zakot is a photographer who's documented Gaza for the past 25 years. Two of his photographs are featured in a UN OCHA project. Ahmed Zakot joins us now from Cairo, Egypt. Ahmed, welcome to Democracy Now! You've just recently left Gaza. Can you talk about the journey you took and why, as a photographer who's documented Gaza for the last quarter of a century, you decided to leave with your family?
Thank you so much, and I'm very happy to join you today. Actually, what forced us to leave Gaza is to be safe and to keep our family lives safe. As you know, it's a war ongoing since 7 months.